A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Voices of Reason. I am Jason Lee, along with my colleague and co-host,
Amy Donaldson.
There you go.
You usually don't let me say my own name.
I shouldn't say involved.
I usually don't let you. Yeah. If you know me, you
of
know.
Of all people, Amy Donaldson would be somebody to let her do anything.
Usually I'm just playing on my phone while you're introducing us.
Well, it's us. And today we are being joined by our colleague and creator of and host of the award-winning podcast, Cold. And we're going to talk to Dave Cawley today about making that show, which is... I guess it's an endeavor is the best way I can describe it, right, Dave? Because it takes you quite a long time to get together the information and the interviews, which lead you on kind of an episodic journey to, in this case, it was the ongoing saga of the Susan Powell disappearance.
Yeah,
is the best way we can describe it, even though we all think that she's dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and thanks for having me back. I mean, the last time I was here with you guys, we were talking about the domestic abuse issue, which came up as part of the podcast. And that's something that I think we all feel is really important. But kind of the behind the scenes look is fun, too, as we were chatting about this the other day.
How does one make award winning top? Well, it was number one for
a long
off
time.
And on for a few times,
right.
You know, a few weeks. But
multi-million downloads.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously, like, let's start first with like the whole idea of podcasting. Like, you're a radio guy, mm-hmm. that's your background. When did you start thinking I'd like to make a podcast? Because, you know, some of this started right when it's just getting started.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So yeah, we'll rewind a few years.
Yeah.
I'm working in radio, so I work for KSL, and I'm doing news on the radio in the afternoons. But I have to be honest. When I listen to audio for myself, I'm streaming music off of my phone. I'm downloading podcasts. And so I'm kind of like foot in both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
The listener in me goes, I really like this podcast experience. But the professional in me is working on this other side in the radio. And
approximately what year is this?
Like 2014-ish.
Yeah. And I always love to ask, like, what was the first podcast? Do you remember the first? Because sometimes there's a few that get recommended to people.
Yeah, it's funny. The one that that I've probably been listening to the longest has nothing to do with anything like in the news genre.
Yeah.
It's called The Talk Show, and it's a Apple tech blogger named John Gruber.
Okay.
And he's been doing it, I mean, for ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that was kind of my first step into listening to podcasts.
Yeah. No, I think my first podcast was a fan, and I'm not a comic book person, but mm-hmm. a friend of mine does a podcast, and so I listened to it at The Geek Show.
Yeah.
And obviously I was lost because I am not a comic book person.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
But I thought, this is kind of cool. You know what I mean? Because you can listen to it whenever you want.
Yeah.
And then for me, it was Two Dope Queens.
Mm.
Jessica Williams left The Daily Show, and I was heartbroken. And she said she was going to do a podcast, and I was like, what's that? And Jeff Lysik told me, because he was listening to Serial.
Mm-hmm. He's another colleague of ours.
Yeah. And so there you go. I had Serial and Two Dope Queens, which you couldn't get farther ends of the spectrum.
Right. And so Serial. For me, and I don't know how it was for you, but like, or even you, Jason.
Serial.
Like, I didn't think of it as a news vehicle or a storytelling opportunity.
It was just entertainment.
It was just, hey, two people talk in a studio.
Yeah.
And then I think Serial kind of reshuffled the deck and changed people's expectations of what can be done mm-hmm. in this medium. And it was about a year, I'm trying to think when Serial came out. It was around that same time.
It's been 4 years,
20,
right?
I want to say 2013 or 14.
Yeah, so right around
I'll
there.
I'll double check while you guys talk.
I had the experience of going to a conference for investigative journalists, and I was listening to, no offense to both of you, but I was listening to print reporters talking about how they were taking their stories and turning them into podcasts. And as a radio guy, I took a little bit of umbrage. Like, hey, wait a minute.
What are these guys taking?
Print people are coming in and stealing my listeners.
October 3rd, 2014. 2014. Is when it was released. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it was released then.
Yeah.
So imagine they're working on it.
It was like,
for
it was
years
like
before that.
At peak, you know, popularity yep. as this kind of experience of going to this conference.
There were podcasts before that, including Carrie Jackson's Geek Show podcast, and they were just doing their thing with insiders, you know, a small percentage of people who were tech savvy enough to.
I mean, if you want to get super nerdy.
Well, let's not get too nerdy because we got people listening who aren't that nerdy.
RSS feeds for audio. That's all a podcast is, and that's been around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But kind of breaking into this like mass cultural awareness, right? Where people go, oh, I get what a podcast is. And I think Serial did a lot in the sense of helping people understand that.
And so for you though, you say to yourself, going back to this kind of investigative journalist kind of part of you, wants to kind of dig deep into something?
I mean, I think we've probably all had the experience of working on a story. And for folks who aren't a journalist, you know, you sometimes have information that you go, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look into this a little deeper. And the more you look, the more you find, the more complex the story becomes, and the more difficult it becomes to write it because...
And sometimes you never have, you don't have, you know there's more to a story, but you don't have the time to go chase it, right? Because they say that's not necessary for the story. We just need to make deadline. You just need to answer the questions that are most pertinent to the print story. But there's this maybe another path that's... And maybe it's a deeper question. Maybe it's the why or the how or those kinds of other issues that come into a story, and you just don't get to chase them because you have to make deadline, and that's not, you can't use that in your story.
And you've got so many other stories that you're working on at any given time, right? And so for me, I had covered this Susan Powell disappearance story from the beginning, going through all the way to, you know, when it was declared a cold case in 2013, and I had got my hands on the case file materials that were released at that time, and had read through a portion of those. And the more I read, the more I just thought there's a larger story here that's not been told. And everything in my professional experience was you write an article or you do a story on the radio. And I couldn't conceive of a way to do that.
The other thing is the timeliness, right? So in news, there's a couple things that make it news. One of them is, did it happen right now? How immediate is it? And the other one is unusual. Is it, you know, the whole...
In that case, there's all kinds of unusual...
Oh, my gosh.
Everything about it was... it felt abnormal. Now we know better, now that you have done the reporting. But on the surface, it was just...
We know that it was more abnormal than
another.
We thought it was.
Right.
Listen, we got to close up this segment. When we come back, I'd like you to kind of go into some of what you found and what kind of made you decide that the podcast was the venue for you. We're talking to Dave Cowley, who is the creator and co-host. I keep saying co-host all the time. Creator and host of Cold, which if you haven't heard it, that means you're one of like 12 people in the world that haven't heard it. But it
highly,
is
highly
an
recommend.
Amazing Dave just does some great work, and we talked about this yesterday. I don't know what you're going to do for an encore, but boy,
I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it one way or the other.
We'll get into it.
All righty. Hey, this is The Voices of Reason.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
And we are back with Voices of Reason. I'm Jason Lee, along with Amy Donaldson. And today we're speaking with Dave Colley. He is the creator and host of Cold. It's a podcast on the KSLNewsRadio.com platform. And it was last year. Were you top three?
We made number one.
Number one.
Briefly.
Of all four.
Actually, more than once, though.
Yeah. Right.
So when it, after it debuted, it was number one pretty quick. I want to say within the first couple episodes.
First day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a little surreal.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
It was the number one worldwide podcast.
Yeah.
In the world.
That's pretty darn good.
On the very first day you released it, which is crazy. Because I always thought it was phenomenal that Two Dope Queens was number one within a week.
Right.
So I'm like, a week, and you're number one.
So it's like you debuting at the number one album that you released. Yeah. You know, so you're like the
Drake.
We're
not trying to make you feel more pressure.
No, it was.
You're like the Drake of podcasting.
Don't make that.
hey, he's doing pretty well.
He's doing great. It was so strange because I had told my boss, my former news director, Cheryl Worsley, when we were working on it, we knew that we had some very compelling material and thought that this was going to be a very strong project. But the problem is there are so many podcasts. Mm. Yeah. And I mean, as you both know, you scrape and fight for every download, right? Yeah. And you're struggling against a lot of competition. And so
there's a lot of noise out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I kind of set my expectation of like, look, if we ever break top 100, like that would be amazing. And so for Cold to have gone on to do as well as it has, it just blows my mind.
So like what, I want to get him back to, how did you know that this was the format for,
and how did
you
talk our bosses into letting
you
absolutely
right? it kind of developed over time. So I had the idea. I went to Cheryl and I pitched it. Hey, we should do a podcast on the Susan Powell case because I've been reading these case documents and there's so much stuff in there that would really make for a good story. And to her credit, she said, "I agree with you. That's a great idea. We should do it." But we don't have the resources. You've got a day job, right?
At the time, was she digital editor at that point?
No, she was radio news director.
She was radio. Because I know we were all bugging Cheryl for everything she's the most, one of the more accessible.
Is she, she's very forward thinking in the sense of like, she gets the need for because I think a lot of radio stations are just now awakening to the idea of like, you need to be podcasting.
Which was stunning to me. So here's Jason and I starting this podcast. Cheryl was a person who greenlighted us.
Yep.
I went to her, she never even asked me if I had taken a single class in broadcasting.
Right.
She's like, yeah, I trust you. You got something to say. We'll figure it out.
Right.
But and we were on iTunes. I thought we were just going to kind of feel it out and see how we did. And we came in and recorded our first episode, and Becky Bruce had it on iTunes the next day. And I said to Jace, I guess we're in.
Yeah. And so we've been doing it.
And that was 2016.
Yeah.
But I think that the idea was this is something we should have been doing. You know, we should have been developing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So she has the vision that way.
Yeah.
But because we at KSL and the Deseret News are finding our way forward, right?
Yeah.
We're trying things, seeing what works, what doesn't work.
And we all do it with our day jobs. And
everybody has an idea that they want. So, like, you can't have every single employee in your organization running off to start a podcast.
Yeah.
And it took us about 2 years, quite honestly. So originally I said, well, it's a great idea, but like I can't work for free.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat on it for a year, and then we obviously weren't getting anywhere. And it was like, well,
and when you're sitting on it a year, like I know, cause I've had projects that I've wanted to do for a really long time. Is it bugging you? Is it gnawing at you?
Nonstop.
Okay, so nonstop you're thinking about this, thinking how could I do it, what could I do?
Once that seed was planted, the feeling of like need to do it never went away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the internal struggle about, I feel very strongly that if you're going to do good, important work, you should be compensated for it. And if I go out and I do this for free for the company and I give it to them, they go, great, thanks for doing that. You know, like, you know. So
do it again.
Not well, right. and it's not to say it's all about what can I do for me, but it's like there needs to be some exchange because as an employee, I'm going outside of my work hours to develop this thing. Mm-hmm. Can we somehow find a way to make it equitable? So it what my point being like early on the recognition I think was there that it was an important thing to do. The question was how do we do it in a way that is
beneficial
fair
to you?
It's yeah. fair to you and is beneficial to the company right. because obviously right. they're getting something from you on the radio.
Right.
Right. That's always the dilemma. So when you're when she finally figures out how you can do this, was
how did
it?
Did you get to Susan Powell?
Well, but how was it? Were you part-time on cold or full-time on cold?
We started scraping out about a day a month for me to work on it, mm-hmm. which in retrospect is laughable because
as you say it, I'm like, how did that even work?
Yeah, there was no way to get any kind of momentum, yeah. right? And so we tried a few different things. We brought in an on-call employee to try to, you know, do some, but then I have to brief this person. I spent all my time briefing this person about where we're at and what needs yeah. to be done, not doing the work. Ultimately reached a tipping point where to be perfectly frank, I had another opportunity come available and I was preparing to leave my job. And at that point, we had some discussion about, is there a way to keep you here? And what if we allowed you to work on this podcast full time? And at that point, I said, yeah, and took on cold as my full-time job and never looked back.
And so when you put it together, as you're doing this, I mean, and I know, I kind of know one part of the answer is you had no idea it was going to be like this.
Yeah.
But when did you know that you said, you know, this is going to be something that will probably be pretty interesting and dare I say terribly interesting to people because especially in Utah, you know, this case is enormous.
Yeah.
And if you're in Washington, the Pacific Northwest, the Western region, this is a big story. And similarly, like Elizabeth Smart was, it had a lot of national coverage as well. So you had a pretty good inkling that you'd have a built-in audience, yeah?
Yeah. So I wanted to do a podcast about a story that I knew was important to my local community, but I don't want to do a podcast that is so regional that if somebody from, you know, Texas or wherever, I mean, we have international listeners
yeah.
who
yeah.
pick up this story. So I wanted it to be accessible if it ever reached that audience. You know, it's the moment I knew that cold had potential, honestly, was when I first listened to the Josh Powell audio journals and hearing that man's voice and the way he talked and recognizing that we were going to provide insight into this mindset that people had never had before. And then taking clips of those. So almost a year before we launched, because of some of what I was hearing, I thought we need some better perspective on this. And Cheryl and myself sat down with Jen Oxborough from the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition, and we shared some clips of those audio journals to kind of gauge her reaction and get some outsider perspective on some of these behaviors.
On what you're hearing,
yeah.
right? Because it's so bizarre.
And watching her face as we were mm-hmm. playing these clips and seeing the way that it impacted her, I went, oh, yeah. This
struck a nerve here.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name?
I can't take any credit for it.
Yeah.
Our colleague, Becky Bruce, she was the one.
Yet again,
yeah.
coming up with good ideas.
Brilliant.
Yeah. She does.
So all credit to Becky on that.
Before we start a new topic,
okay.
I'm trying to keep the track here because we got a couple more segments. We're going to come back. And Amy, what did you want? What were you going to ask about?
I'll save it for after.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was just going to tease it a little bit. But so when we come back, we'll get some more into this. And eventually, I want to ask Dave about what's he do for an encore? Because he has set the bar pretty damn high. I would say record-settingly high, actually. Which, a good place to be in, I gotta be honest with you. You're listening to Voices of Reason. We are back with Voices of Reason. I am Jason Lee, along with Amy Donaldson. And today we're speaking with Dave Cawley. He's the host and creator of Cold, which debuted as the number one podcast in the world and has been downloaded so many times that I think I don't know that they have a number to really count that anymore. It's sort of like the number for the national debt. It just keeps growing, and
it's beyond fingers and toes.
Yeah, you don't even care about that anymore.
It's at least beyond our math, our feeble math. But I just wondered when you guys were trying to come up with a name and Becky Bruce came up with Cold, were you guys thinking multiple seasons, or were you thinking that was just the perfect name for this cold case?
So a little bit of both. We wanted to evoke Susan and this idea that, you know, she disappears on this snowy December day, you know, out in the desert with the boys. You know, Josh is out there camping. So
the way he handled it was very cold, I thought. I mean, I thought cold had a lot of meanings for me as a listener.
Yep.
But I even as I'm two or three episodes in, I'm thinking, you know, what is this? Is there going to be another cold case? Is there another situation like this that could deserve that kind of journalistic treatment?
And that was part of the consideration was, you know, we had no idea that this podcast would do as well as it had. The hope was if we do something that really moves the needle, we want to be able to bring those listeners along to whatever our next investigation is. And so let's not be so restrictive in choosing a name that it locks us into only ever telling, you know, the Susan Powell story, or even I would say even, you know, murder stories like I don't want to call it cold case such and such, because cold can mean a lot of different things.
And we mentioned one of our other favorite podcasts, Bear Brook. You know, that's clearly just a podcast about that particular situation and case, and it's a fascinating podcast. It's a great podcast, and I think it's been in the top handful of podcasts here and there as well. And that one's actually one that I found way after it was way after it launched, which is what happens with Cold. And if you're listening to this on the radio, you know, that's the beauty of podcasting. You can go back and find things at Serial in 2014, and you can listen to it. It's just like Netflix.
Yeah.
You can go back and watch
Binge
Friends.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And you don't have to wait. This is the only thing I hated about Cold was I had to wait. I'd listen to one on Wednesday. I know, but it was a very long time for me. And I would save them for if I had a particularly
A
longer run, or I had to be on the treadmill because it was winter. And I knew it was going to be riveting journalism, riveting storytelling. And so I was like, okay, this will get me through whatever I have to get through. And as I have said before, don't listen to it running by yourself in the dark, because there are some creepy sections.
Oh my gosh.
How
did you get through the creepiness?
Actually want to go one more mechanic question, one more under the hood question about how did you, when you're listening to all these audio journals, you're looking at thousands and thousands of documents, you're talking to all these people, you're, you know, chasing leads. Where in the world do you know how to start organizing that into what you... Into anything that makes sense.
So you've got the chronology, right? So the simple way to tell the story is, you know, you start at the beginning and you just work your way forward through time. Mm-hmm. I thought a lot about this because the obvious place to start with the Susan Powell story is is her disappearance.
Yeah.
And I think that in another world, in another universe, I maybe do that. But the more we found out about their relationship before Susan's disappearance, I thought, you know, you really need to build up the context so that when Susan disappears as a listener, you know, we all experienced that as it happened. And then we had to go back and try to fill in, you know, the context afterward. Who is this Josh Powell guy? Why is he so, you know, why is he the way he is? Why was he never arrested? Blah, blah, blah. If I can build it up through storytelling before she disappears, then when she disappears, you hear it as a listener, you go, oh no. Oh no. Like you know what this is, right?
But also it built like tension, and especially I had lots of relatives and friends who are not from Utah who didn't, maybe they heard peripherally of the case, but they didn't really know the details of it. I certainly didn't know about Steve Powell.
And so they were
calling me saying, yeah, I'm Googling this, I'm trying to read articles, you know, because they would be so curious about what was happening. Because it was so it was a different experience if you knew about the case, I felt, than if you, for me, it was like, tell me the why and the underlying and the context, like you said. For people who didn't know, it was, how does this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened and how did it happen? And then what? I knew people who listened to it who didn't know what happened to the boys.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. Which honestly was one of my favorite episodes, even though I had to leave the gym because I started crying. I was on the stair climber. But I thought the way you handled it was just beautiful. And that's what made me sad, you know, was listening to all these people talk about two little boys they loved and the life they didn't get to have.
I don't know that I'll ever be able to go back and actually listen to that episode after having put it together. Mm. In a strange way, episode 14 is, I think, the best work I've ever done and probably will ever do.
It was not what I expected.
Right.
I was dreading that part. And I thought, well, if it gets too bad, I'll just skip it. I know what happened. I don't need to. Because it was so traumatic to read about it in the newspaper.
Yeah.
You know, as just a regular news consumer, that I just thought, I don't need that. I don't need that, those images again. And you handled it in a way that didn't evoke those images, but made me think about those kids in a really real way. Like, I felt like I understood them. I knew them, that they were people, you know?
As a listener, if you don't feel that loss, you're not human, you know? Those two boys and the way in which their lives were taken, being as horrible as it was a task I knew in telling the story that I was going to have to cross that bridge. And I honestly was dreading it, because how do you do that? Mm-hmm. So
where did the idea come from to use these quotes that everybody gave you about? Because I'm sure you collected them on the way. Interviewing people about other things, and then they say something sweet about these little boys. I babysat these little boys. I was in the ward with these little boys. I was their next door neighbor. I was their aunt. Whatever. You have all these little anecdotes and these little fragments about these boys. Where does the idea come to use that to describe what the world lost?
I was sitting in Jennifer Graves' living room. So she's Josh Powell's older sister.
Their aunt, the little boy's aunt.
Yep. And we've been talking for quite a long time. And I asked her to walk me through her experience of that day. And Jennifer was so raw and honest. She talked for about 10 minutes and I did not say a word. And as I left her house that afternoon, as a reporter, sometimes you come away knowing you just collected a quote or tape, in my case, that is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how do I chop this up? Right? Because everything in my radio background is, well, you go in and you splice out the best 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I cannot do that, because you have to hear it all. Mm. And that kind of became the basis of the idea of, like, I'm just going to let Jennifer tell her story because I can't say it better. And that kind of filled in the gaps for me of, okay, now when I go talk to other people and I ask them about that day, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to let these people tell it, because their words, their emotions, their experiences will be much more profound than anything I could add.
Their affection for those kids.
Oh my gosh.
That's what came through to me, was that they were loved, you know? And I think that's what you never think of when you read a horrible story about murder or mayhem. You think of these people in the most pathetic, victim, like sad, it's tragic,
abstract.
But it's all this like negative, sad, you know, turmoil, you know, bad. And you never think, I'll give you an example of somebody else who's managed to do this for me, is Jill McCluskey's tweets about her daughter who was murdered, a University of Utah student, Lauren McCluskey, was murdered. But she keeps tweeting out pictures of her when she was like graduating from high school, when she won the state championship, when she was getting ready to go to college. And it's made me see her as a complete person. And I don't know that we try to do that as journalists, but we're always under these time constraints. And in that episode, more than any other episode, I felt a connection to the people involved, to Susan and her boys, that I honestly hadn't realized I didn't feel the rest of the arrested the coverage, the rest of the coverage of the story.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Dave what he does for an encore, because as you we've sat and talked about this, it is when you do such a great job, you want to try to repeat that. But man, oh man, sometimes it's, Leonardo da Vinci didn't make two Sistine Chapels, you know, so we're going to see how it goes. You're listening to Voices of Reason. We're back with Voices of Reason. I'm Jason Lee, along with Amy Donaldson, and today we're speaking with Dave Colley. He's the creator and host of the award-winning podcast Cold, and we spent part of the last segment talking about being able to tell a story in a way that essentially gives humanity to people that the audience never really knew. But before we got to do that, I'm realizing now it was Michelangelo that did the Sistine Chapel, not Leonardo da Vinci. So
either way, the bar is super high for you, right?
Well,
and that's the point. The point is that you've done this work that's amazing journalism. It's amazing storytelling. It was successful in every way. And now we're all desperately, impatiently, I ask him all the time.
What you got going next, Dave?
What's working on there, buddy?
When you drop in, anything I can listen to? How do you decide what's next?
Oh, man.
And how long have you been trying to decide what's next?
So, it's tough. We've made no secret of the fact that we are planning a second season of Cold. But how do you follow up what you consider to probably be the best work that you've done and maybe ever will do, right?
Which, by the way, wouldn't be the worst thing, because you could still do great work.
No, right? No, not at all, not at all. But, working in an organization when you do something successful, I think the expectation is, oh, great, please do that again, right? And I'm going to try my darndest, but the Powell case in Cold, there were a confluence of factors that I think were just very unique that allowed it to be as successful as it was. And now the expectation is set that whatever story we tell next should reach that same bar. And that's a pressure that I feel pretty intensely.
So it's got to weigh on you a little bit.
One thing I think that we discovered with Cold in the Susan Powell story was there ought to be a broader reason for telling it. If we're going to take the time and invest the resources, you know, our goal with the Susan Powell case was never just to stare at the car wreck on the side of the road.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, because I saw people... I got into discussions with people about this on Twitter, and people who said, well, I read about that case. It was a terrible case. Why would I want to listen to more details and audio tapes? And there are programs that have just played audio, just done, just been the car wreck. Why look at this? And that is one thing that I have to say. And as a survivor of domestic violence, I feel incredibly grateful that there was this, other motive, this other reason to listen to this. And I think it was profoundly impactful.
Right.
And I saw it through my friends. I sent you some of those.
Yeah.
That people's lives were changed. I mean, that's what we hope for as journalists, right? Most of the time, you're lucky to make deadline and you're just happy about that. But what we're doing this work for is to do something good in the world.
And if there's a testament to Susan, I think it is that there are people who, listening to her story, see elements of themselves or of their relationships, and it helps them better understand their own lives. Whatever we do next on Cold, I'll give you a peek behind the scenes. We kind of made a list. We had a lot of people coming forward with suggestions, hey, you should look at this case. You should look at this case here. We kept track of all of those. We made a short list of these are the stories that we think have the greatest potential for this kind of storytelling. And then there are some practical concerns, right? We don't necessarily want to wait 3 more years before we're able to come out with a second season. So some of it is, what do we have the resources to turn in a timely fashion so that, you know, maybe a year and a half wait versus, you know, a few years to do a very full and good investigation and produce episodes, stuff like that. I'm going to be honest and tell you I can't tell you exactly what we came out of that discussion with.
Have you made it kind of any, without saying, have you made a final decision? Or
We're currently looking at a couple cases very, very closely. Okay. So a small handful. Part of it is we don't necessarily want to commit to doing a story when we've not done the investigatory work to determine whether or not it actually has the legs to be a full.
Well, and I think that's the thing people need to understand. Like, we have to have people to interview. You have to have documents to look at. You have to have something. Sadly, there are a lot of cold cases. I didn't know this until I interviewed somebody whose mom had been murdered and had never been solved, that there was a county list of unsolved homicides. And that just reading that made me sad, yeah. Right? And but I can't imagine trying to pick one case to just, because it feels like trying to, how I feel all the time trying to adopt one dog when a million dogs need my love.
Yeah,
well, no, but I mean they need you. There's other cases that need this kind of look,
right?
For whatever reason, the issues they raise, the fact that it might help solve it. All of the above, you know?
And with cold, I mean, we tapped into something deeper cultural in the sense of domestic abuse, not non-physical, right? Recognizing some of these red flags, these warning signs that, you know, I didn't set out to do a domestic abuse podcast. Mm-hmm. That came out of the reporting. Mm-hmm. There are probably a lot of listeners who expect us to go right back to that same well. Oh, you're gonna keep hammering domestic abuse. Maybe we will. It will depend on what story comes out. But it's also possible that we focus on another story that highlights another issue. Mm-hmm. And I hope that, you know, if people listened to Cold and jumped on board because of the importance of that message, that they'll be willing to at least give us a shot with whatever we do next, in the sense of it's coming from a place of telling a story that we feel is important.
Do you have a deadline for yourself?
I've been given a rough one by my management. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with Cold Season 1, some interesting thing happened. Interesting things happened. The first was I was working without a deadline until suddenly I had one. Mm-hmm. And apparently that deadline had been in people's minds for a long time but never communicated to me.
so common. Behind the curtain, you see this.
So it's entirely likely that I have a deadline that I have no idea is out there.
Do you worry at all about the proliferation of crime podcasts?
Yes.
And what do you do about that? Or can you do anything?
It's like having too many hamburger places. Just make the best hamburger you can.
It's a free market.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I strongly believe that the good will rise to the top.
Absolutely.
So culturally, there's something going on where I am concerned about the move toward consuming grisly crime stories as entertainment. What does that tell us about our own mindset and our own society? It's interesting. Dissecting these cases, I think, can teach us a lot. But there are certainly shows, cable shows, podcasts that's
all they want to do is show you this gross and scary stuff.
In my mind, they're not bringing anything of a true investigatory or journalistic nature to the forefront. They're not shining a light. They're not exposing new truth. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to do as a journalist.
They're trying to scare you or entertain you or gross you out or freak you out, or because a lot of these are creepy too.
They
you
are.
Know? There's a super creep factor with it.
There are a lot of horrible stories.
Your life telling those.
Right. So I'm concerned about that. I would hope that, you know, we don't fall into that category, but so, you know, certainly we've had people who have shared reviews or sent messages that they feel like, Cold was exploitation was not in good taste. And all I can do is respectfully disagree.
Yeah. And I had conversations with people like that, and I when I got down to brass tacks with them, it's usually just the coverage, the saturation of coverage of that issue, right?
Right.
And we talked about this. There's a new 2-day story coming out about Elizabeth Smart. I mean, you would think that had been done. We've learned what we can learn. We're good, and let those people have their lives back now, to some degree. So I think that's part of it. Is that was just a case that had so much peripheral attention that it was difficult for people to separate what are they getting from cold versus what are they getting from are you just, because I will admit when I found out that was the case, I was like, oh, that's the case, come on. That already depressed me for 2 years, right. I don't want to hear it again, right. You know, but I was wrong.
Well, Dave, I've known you for a few years, and your attention to detail, your dedication to doing the best work you know how, and the fact that you're really talented,
we aspire to be you.
We aspire to be
please.
You. But I gotta be
we
honest
do.
With you. I hope you hit
just
another Grand
thank
Slam.
Thank you, David.
I hope you hit another Grand Slam, but if you don't, it'll still be a home run.
Yeah.
And for that I am sure of, and I will all listen. And thank you very much for taking a couple of minutes to join us today.
Thanks. Right. Appreciate it.
Hey, listen, if you enjoy this, join us again for the next episode of the Voices of Reason podcast, the Loudmouth Project's Voices of Reason podcast. And if you have any comments about our show, please contact us via email at vormed@gmail.com, or you can find me at vrjasonl@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at ADonSports and at JasonLee1. Our show's Twitter handle is @VORPodcast. Check out our Facebook page, and you can also find and subscribe to free episodes of our podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and any other places where you might find interesting content. Please be sure to review our show and give us feedback. We love to get that, and it helps us grow our audience. Until next time, I'm Jason Lee. When you engage in passionate debate, do your best to keep your dialogue civil. Try to be the voice of reason.
Voices of Reason is a production of the Loudmouth Project.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.